So here we are, the 17th of January, 2018, and you can guarantee that if a wish was put forward to actually get the A-team together, with the exception of Ian McDonald, we have got two of those dynamic folk in situ, William. You've heard them beforehand. Of course, we're talking about Hannah and Tessa, back as though they'd never been away, frankly. It's marvellous. How are you, sir?
Tip-top, thank you. Yes, full of good cheer. It's snowing, and we're all hunkering down with alcohol, which is what Scott do.
He deserves an ident.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
Would you like a little left-cheek confession, William? Not so much a confession, sort of a little bit of a...
Yes, I'd love to hear your confession. Well, tell me, son, how have you sinned?
Well, it's not so much a sin, really. It's just a statement, really, which you might find of some sort of interest. I've had to, obviously, move offices. So in terms of the University of Lincoln, I'm in a different place now. It's a different line, home of Siren Radio, of course. And I do actually, on my desk, on the computer, I've actually put one of your shark's teeth, William. So it's there. So that when students come to actually see me to talk about, I don't know, everything from dissertations to the meaning of life, happy to deal with all sorts of questions, I can actually point to that shark's tooth and say, look, that was extinct a good number of years ago. What is it now? You know, puts it all into reach. So I just thought a little bit of your shark's tooth is still there, impressing sort of folk across the base.
Fantastic. Do you give them the full story about the shark?
No, there isn't time. They're busy people. They've got things to actually write about and all the rest of it. So yeah. I point them to your website and just go from there, really. You know, for goodness sakes.
Okay, fine.
So, Hannah, what sort of time have you actually had on 2018 so far, now that we're actually 18 days into 2018? And fun fact for you, in 200,000 hours, you'll be in your mid-50s.
Thank you. Oh, it's been good. It's been busy, you know, especially coming back to uni and suddenly realised I listed out all the work I had to do. And actually all of it didn't include NCTJ, not as to like die inside. But I only had about 2 breakdowns since coming back to uni.
That's okay. That's
it was
fine.
A week ago, so I feel like I'm doing okay.
Yeah, there's no worries, Jordy. Just breathe. That's the important thing. Remember to breathe. We were speaking about you last week, of course, where at this very moment in time, we were just on our way back from the 2018 London Boat Show. And obviously, we're devastated. Tessa couldn't make it, Eva couldn't make it, etc. And then Ed Wellman said, what about Hannah? Didn't really ask her, really. You know, clearly, next time from Harwich, you'll have to make that journey if you're still in the Harwich area.
I'll sail up. The river
style. See what you did there. Very good. Yeah. Although it was totally anchored by Jeff Hurst and a variety of English 1966 World Cup scenarios, including the Jules Rimet Trophy. Anyway, more of that later. You can speak to one of the exhibitors from Koi Clothing actually next week on the show, because they have actually sort of said they're keen to actually come back on the whole system. William, I said we were going to talk a bit about pre-Burns Night, but it's a couple of weeks away, isn't it, before Burns Night really hits home. I mean, do you start preparing with the haggis and sheep are being nervously sort of gathered together at this very moment in time to donate their inner organs?
Yeah, the Burns Night is such a big deal here that it lasts about 2 weeks, and you can very often go to about 3 dinners, and you will be truly haggised up. So we are going to our first Burns Night supper on Saturday.
Good. I'm not sure whether Glinton, little place outside Peterborough, has actually sort of manifested the art of the Burns Night, Tessa. I mean, it's something perhaps you might want to think about.
My mum has. I haven't. She's actually done some singing for an event.
Right.
Yeah, several years on the road, but I'm not... I can't say, I don't think I'm a fan of haggis. I think it's an acquired taste.
Yeah, I mean, I always think it's tough on the sheep, to be honest, really. I mean, to make that donation for the whole thing, I find is quite astounding, really. But, you know,
but it's another event to celebrate.
Yeah. And Hannah, Harwich in Hannah, and Harwich and she and Burns Night and so on, does it work with you?
Not as far as I'm aware. I don't think I've heard of Burns Night before.
Sorry.
Might have done. I've never known it to be celebrated.
Cue another jingle.
What is this alien concept you're blabbing on about?
Yeah, sorry, William talked over your jingle there, obviously reading the script, so we'll play it again just in case people actually want to know. What was that?
Hannah Brown, historic Harwich heroine and hyperbolic midweek drivette.
Who hasn't heard of Burns Night?
It hasn't reached Harwich yet, obviously.
Well,
so. I have had haggis once.
Well, clearly there needs to be some kind of way forward. I mean, all right, William, talk about Robbie Burns and how wee timorous, sleekit beastie and so on is sort of just endemic in terms of British culture, whether or not you're kind of into Brexit or not.
Well, Robbie Burns is Scotland's Shakespeare. He is the bard up here. And although I find his poems mostly incomprehensible, the Scots love him. And every year on his birthday, at the end of January, they celebrate by having haggis, tatties and neeps, which is haggis, potatoes and sweets all mashed up. So it's very good if you don't have any teeth and you can almost suck it down with a spoon or a straw. And then they drink tons of whiskey and end it with cranachan, which is a kind of cream and oaty thing.
And William, is Scotland coping with the, some might say, astounding news, not that Hannah wasn't aware of Burns Night, but that actually Iron Brew are actually reducing the amount of sugar in their drinks?
Apparently, the original Iron Brews, which have much more sugar in them, are changing hands for a lot more money. They're sort of becoming
collectors' items. I'm not surprised.
Exactly. Yes, as opposed to which has only got half the sugar in it.
There'll be dentists weeping all over the Scottish Highlands, really, in this particular area. I mean, how else can you actually sort of enhance tooth decay within Highlanders if you don't have that maximum amount of sugar in Iron Brew? Iron Brew, have you ever... No.
I'm not a fan, no.
Something clearly odd with that microphone, so move on to another microphone, Tessa, and then we'll be
that
much...
One.
That's much
Oh, there
better.
We go, that's much clearer.
You can hear yourself now.
I can hear myself.
So, I have a slight suspicion we might have to just plug a couple of things in because earlier in the day actually, inspired on our had a little bit of incident with one of our co-presenters who effectively sort of had an issue with the microphone. I don't like to talk about it.
That's not good. Was it that traumatic, Alex?
I'm still slightly recovering, but never mind. We'll work our way through that. Hannah, have you got anything you'd like to put to William Coles? Maybe you'd like to seek his advice in terms of NCTJ? You know, easy peasy, not a lemon squeezy. Anything else you'd like to sort of raise with the man?
Well, if I was to start celebrating Burns Night and I don't have any haggis on hand or whiskey, what would be the best way to honour the Scottish bard?
Or Iron Brew.
Iron Brew, no.
Well... The essence of it is not really the food or indeed Burns. It is the drinking. And he was a real ladies' man. He had at least 15 children by quite a number of women. So that's all you need to do. Find some alcohol and get rip-roaringly drunk. Then that you will be honouring the spirit of Burns. Yeah. No need for any poetry or anything like that. Though he did come out with a few good poems you might have heard of, Auld Lang Syne and My Love's Like a Red, Red Rose, but the alcohol was the main thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pleased, given the proclivity that he actually had for reproduction, you didn't actually say and get pregnant, because that's not a good idea. Just step away from the reproductive system. You've got to have that sensitivity.
I'm guessing dry January isn't a thing in Scotland then.
Sorry. Oh, Tessa Snart. She just comes out with the classics. Just
Lorraine Kelly's doing it.
Yeah, well.
She's actually doing it.
Yeah, but she's not living in Scotland.
She's not,
no.
I just thought I'd put that one out there.
And I'm pleased she did, actually. any Scottish
You've got to give it a mention. Clearly, it is January. Clearly. We're nearly at the end of it now.
Well, halfway through. Lots and lots of exciting things to do, such as Rick Davey, publisher, co-author and editor of a new book called Playboys, Spies and Private Eyes. Now, with a title like that, what do you think, William, it's celebrating? Playboys, Spies and Private Eyes.
It's got to be that Hugh Hefner was, in fact, spy for CIA.
No. No, it's actually celebrating the very best of ITC series, one of which actually Hannah has watched at least 1.5 episodes of, there are only 17 in a series, but whether she ever gets through the entire Prisoner series, I don't know. But yes, a new book that's been put together, which has opened up a whole range of lines and things from there. There's one particular story which I will save for Rick Davey when he actually emerges to just share with him, because it is, I found it probably the first laugh out loud, there, he used that there well, on a moment I've had whilst reading a text for probably 4.5 years. It's literally that good. I don't want to build it up too much, obviously, but I did think that...
Well, that's quite a build-up.
Exactly. I mean, with your books, William, obviously the romantic comedies, they give me a wry smile many times, but, you know, R-S-O-L, wry smile out loud, it's good, but it's still quality stuff, is there? Anyway, I actually came across your guide to writing quality journalism recently as well, William, which I must bring down to the studio next time, have a little perusal at that.
For all aspiring journalists, I mean, even though it was it's a few years old, it's still true today. It's all about the stories.
Yeah, exactly. Perfectly valid in every sense of the word. We will try and reach Graham Harper to talk about Inside Number 9 in a few moments. We've got Katrina Webb coming up as well. Juliet Howland, as we mentioned, she's been working very hard. You know, she was almost exhausted when I spoke to her this morning, but she said, am I still on for this evening? I said, Julia, of course. You know, you've got this fantastic product. You've got a whole range of other factors. You're an actress, you're a singer, you're a business entrepreneur. How did you connect with Juliet Howland in the first place, William?
She's from Hampshire. And my brother used to fancy her, but never did anything about it. And
Yeah, well, that's okay. You know, we won't talk about the brother. She's joining us. And Andy Cope, Doctor of Happiness, no less. Doctor of Happiness from Loughborough University. We're talking about the power of saying yes. Plus, you might not have connected with Phil Leonis as yet, William. I think, you kind of paths might have crossed. But Phil has been poorly. And, of course, his pet cat, Fuzz Aldrin, has been very poorly. So we've been giving money.
Sharing.
Exactly, sharing and donating and doing all sorts of things. But it's looking good. It's looking good for Fuzz Aldrin, and it's looking good for Phil Leonis. So more about that as the programme proceeds. Now, critical time. Do we go Hannah? Do we go Tess? Do we go Tanner? Tess, do we go Hannah?
Do we both do a question
one
each?
One question each. Nicely said. You see, that's the kind of diplomacy that opens up a whole range of things. So question one, please. Hannah.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I've loved it. I always do.
Question two, Tessa.
And will you be joining us again on the programme soon?
Just as soon as the boss asks me. Thank you so much for having me.
Seamless.
Brilliant. It's like watching Pep Guardiola's team in action. Just from
so
one side. It's amazing.
Roman candles and burning the night. Yeah, you are a shining light. You lit a torch in the empty night. Yeah, you are a shining light. Yeah, you light up my life. You've always been a thorn in the side, but to me you're a shining light. You arrive and the night is alive. Yeah, you are a shining light. Yeah, you light up my life. We made a connection.
I think she's finished now. Well, she is Scottish, so she can finish when she wants to. Siren Radio is what you're listening to. Do we have any Inside Number 9 followers here?
I'm intrigued by it. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've seen the adverts that have been playing on BBC.
Yes, yes.
And every time, me and my housemates have just been, what? What exactly is that?
So, number 9.
Yeah.
And you go inside.
And there's a dice. there's someone as dressed as a nurse. I'm intrigued, but scared to delve further.
Well, clearly we'll hold fire, and Graham will be able to talk more about that in the near future, because his current episode of Inside Number 9 actually got an airing, I think, last week, actually. Bernie Clifton's dressing room. Heartwarmingly poignant in every sense of the word. Annette Andre, of course, will be with us in a matter of time. Now, whether she actually, as her audio missive, actually provides the forward for Playboy Spies and Private Eyes, given that she was a key part of ITC Television's series, and indeed was a star of Randall and Hopkirk Deceased and The Saint with Roger Moore and so on. Who knows? But we will find out, because again, it's all sort of paving the way for series which, thanks to the magic of online devices and so on, there's no reason why you can't actually access things like Danger Man, The Saint, The Prisoner, Man in a Suitcase, The Champions, Randall and Hopkirk Deceased, The Persuaders and so on, and fill your life with good entertaining values which can take you into a whole different direction. Or maybe you choose not to do that at all and simply listen to Siren Radio. Well, why not?
Should ever come that you feel our race is run and your old brass bed's the only thing that we share. If you think our ship's come in, let's just break it off, my friend, 'cause nothing's worse than playing like you care. There's nothing that's so fine. Off in the night and live out all those stories in your head. When your little bird flies home and you're left there all alone and you need a friend, remember what I said. There's nothing that's so final.
Andre, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on 107.3 Siren FM.
But it gets even better than that. Not just an awesome voiceover artiste and so on, awesome editor, writer extra. We have Annette Andre back with us. Happy 2018, Annette Andre.
Thank you, and the same to you and everybody there.
Yeah, well, we have Tessa and we have Hannah who have managed to brave the outrageous, wonderful wet weather that we've been having in Lincoln to actually make it for the first official studio midweek drive of 2017, because last week, as I say, we were elsewhere. There was a midweek drive that was going out there, but it was pre-recorded. So there we are.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I remember you telling me that or something.
It's all very.
At least you're not walking out into streets that have ice flows running through them like they do on the East Coast here.
Well, you see, that's what happens when Donald Trump gets elected president. I'm sorry, I said I wasn't going to be political.
Don't be. I'm joining the march again on Saturday. Well, there's another women's march.
Exactly. It'll all work through that. But clearly, as we go into January, one of the unmissable delights and highlights of regular midweek drives over the last few years has been your audio missives, whether they're from upstate New York or indeed from just outside San Diego. So what delightful thing can we look forward to today, and how does it connect with Playboys, Spies and Private Eyes?
Well, I was asked to write the foreword for this new book that's out about ITC, and called Playboys, Spies and Private Eyes. And I thought that I'd read that to you today, the foreword.
It would be the perfect audio missive.
Yeah.
Take it away, Annette.
Thank you. The past is a foreign country. They do things differently there. I read that in a novel donkeys years ago and didn't really understand what it meant until I started writing my memoir and discovered that the past is indeed a place with a mind of its own. Calendar time and the sequence of events in your life often don't jibe, and it seems as if you're continually playing a newsreel in reverse to get things right. But one thing I'm certain of, in the story of how I got from there to here, is that pure luck played a major role. I was in the right place at the right time to be a part of what has come to be called the golden age of British television. None of us in front of the cameras or behind had a clue that the telly we were turning out in the 60s and 70s had a shelf life, or that shows like Randall and Hopkirk Deceased, The Saint, The Prisoner, The Avengers, or that any of the dozens more so popular in their day would be in constant replay a half century later. What stands out for me all these years later was the atmosphere of fun and the camaraderie that seemed to pervade the shows I did at ITC under Lou Grade. Both Mike Pratt and Ken Cope were pranksters, and the shenanigans they invented to make me break up in the middle of a take made our producer, Monty Berman, old before his time. One of Ken's favorite gags was to make me react to him when he'd appear suddenly in a scene I was doing with Mike. Since only Mike could see Ken, I had to act as if he weren't standing next to me or crossing between us. At the best of times, it took all the concentration I could muster not to be aware of him. But then, without warning, Ken would tickle my knee out of camera sight and I'd jump like a rabbit and then, of course, collapse with laughter. The poor director would yell, "Cut!" And Ken, picture of innocence, would ask, "What happened?" By the way, in case you hadn't noticed, Ken's hairdo mysteriously went from a Beatles-type cut in the first two or three episodes to a more conventional style for the rest of the series. He was wearing a wig at the producer's insistence and had it back to front until he and the hairdresser sorted it out. When it came to pranks, Roger Moore was every inch Ken's equal. We filmed R&H at the Elstree Studios along with The Saint, The Avengers, The Champions, and Department S. Very often we'd be shooting our series on one stage and on the adjoining one, Roger would be filming The Saint. Quite early one morning, I was shooting a highly emotional scene with Mike in my bedroom set when the wardroom door suddenly flew open and Roger stepped out saying, "Hope I'm not intruding." Roger and I hit it off right out of the gate when I was cast as a guest star in The Saint, the first of six. We both had wacky senses of humor, partial to practical jokes, whoopee cushions included, and over the years we traded gotcha to the delight of cast and crews. But there was a serious side to Roger when it came to work. I was uncertain if I should take on R&H, afraid that starring in a series would typecast me. Roger took me to lunch and pointed out all the pluses, but with the caveat that I had to keep my head on my shoulders and not let the spotlight blind me to the fact that I was still one of many who were responsible for making the show a success. Roger practiced that philosophy in every role he played, and I'll be eternally grateful for his advice and support. I awoke early one morning in May 2017 to hear the BBC announce Roger Moore's passing. The news took the wind from me, as he'd been a force in my life since 1964, and I'll miss him for the rest of my days. He was not just an engaging actor and a fine director, but also one of the last of a fading breed, a gentleman. The boys, as I called Ken and Mike, were dreamboats to work with, kind, gentle when I was fragile and feeling overworked, and always supportive. Mike was a very talented musician as well, and we'd often meet up in his dressing room during breaks in shooting, and he'd entertain us, singing, playing his guitar. Of all the shows I've done over the years, I still have a special feeling for R&H and the boys. I've been a lifelong animal lover and advocate for their care, both in captivity and in the wild. For over 25 years, I've been an active supporter of the Born Free Foundation, BFF, founded by Virginia McKenna and her husband Bill Travers, stars of the film Born Free, and run today by their son, Will Travers. Years ago, I went to hear Ginny and Bill give a talk on their efforts to close zoos in the UK that mistreated the creatures in their care. I was hooked instantly and began giving talks on the BFF's many projects to rescue and protect wildlife wherever threatened. Along the way, I became close friends with Ginny and Bill and expanded my efforts to include investigating zoos and circuses to expose inhumane conditions. The BFF remains a vital part of my life. We're a superstitious lot, actors are. And so in the theatres the world over, the lights are turned off after the last performance, except for one left burning stage centre. It's called the ghost light, and it's there for all the spirits who had trod those boards to find their way back. I'd like to think that one day, in the very, very distant future, I'll find a ghost light waiting for me. There's nothing I'd like better than to hear my cue, hit my mark, and do it all over again.
I think Annette deserves a full round of applause.
Yay! Lovely actually hearing that. Aren't the themes for the British shows really, even today, are really, I think, the best in the world. And I think that one was a lovely one.
Yeah. Oh, indeed so. I think well put together, well structured, and a great series, of course, which is still accessible and does all sorts of other marvellous things. And we'll be talking more about that with Rick Davey, of course, the publisher of this wonderful Playboy, Spies and Private Eyes, which when he sent me a PDF of the whole system, have a little perusal of it, I was so impressed with. Yes, I actually went and purchased a copy myself because it's for Born Free Foundation. Let's go with that. It's marvellous.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you. That's encourage everybody to do that.
I think so. You can go to Quoit Media, that's quoitmedia.co.uk, and find the details there, or literally just go to any online retailer and you can actually purchase it directly from that point of view as well. So well worth accessing. You've had a little perusal, Tessa. Any thoughts from yourself?
I really love the illustrations in the book as well. Yeah, they're really lovely, and your words were just Yeah, they were beautiful. Hannah and I were following along, actually, through Alex's book.
Yes, it was a bit like karaoke, but a kind of...
No, they were lovely words.
Well-structured. Hannah, thoughts from yourself?
I really love what you wrote. What really struck with me was your ending, where you said you hoped that a ghost... I didn't know that they left a spotlight on in the theatres.
Yes.
And
yes.
The idea that, you know, one day you'll find your way back there and... you know, maybe even, like, you know, Roger going back there as well. It's just a very beautiful thought, and it was beautifully written.
And remember,
it
we're just...
It is, isn't it? I've actually seen a ghost in a theatre.
Oh,
I wonder who it was. Yeah, I actually did. It was in a... Not in London. It was a provincial theatre, and now I can't remember which one it was, but it was quite spooky,
well,
but it was interesting.
The situation is quite straightforward, Annette. You know, we are simply spiritual beings on a physical journey. That's all, you know, as opposed to physical beings on a spiritual journey.
That's
we're
true.
Spiritual beings on a physical journey. So,
that's true. That's absolutely true.
All down to the perspective from that point of view.
I was going to say, I thought the way you structured the piece was really good as well. I mean, where do you start? Did you make lists to put the piece together, or did you just know exactly what you wanted to write from the beginning?
No, I certainly didn't know exactly, not at all. Yeah, I sort of had to, you know, pen down some ideas, or what tack should I take, what should I, you know, it was all a bit...
following the news.
It was quite difficult. And then
following
suddenly,
the news.
Yeah.
We've also managed to post a photograph of Tessa and Hannah actually holding up the aforementioned Playboy Spies and Private Eyes. So, again, it's spreading the word from that point of view. We'll continue to do so. Because the even more exciting stuff is after... I think it's probably been almost 4 or 5 years we've talked about this, but hopefully in the very near future, Annette André's autobiography... will also be available as well.
Well, I would definitely have to.
And
get
Rick,
a copy
Rick's
of that.
Publishing that.
Yeah.
Rick Davey
yeah.
is publishing
yeah.
that.
Oh, yes.
Clearly, he shows excellent taste.
Yes.
Which I shall relate to him. When
I'll agree with that.
When he joins us in about half an hour or so from now, so it's a good news from that. Hannah's currently perusing Randlin Hopcock Deceased, which could be another series you might want to actually check out, Hannah. I mean, obviously you were accessing The Prisoner. You haven't as yet reached Annette's feature in The Prisoner as yet, or her, I think, but maybe Randlin Hopcock, does it appeal to yourself?
It definitely sounds interesting. I'm having a look here, and from what I can see, it appears there's... a detective and a ghost.
Exactly. His former partner who comes back. Because
my husband. Yes. My husband gets killed in the first episode. Yeah. And from then on, he is a ghost who appears to his partner, a detective partner, who is Mike Pratt. Mm. And Mike can see and talk to him, and I can't. So it all gets a bit confusing at times. And it has wonderful sort of ups and downs of drama, of drama and comedy. Which we loved doing. We loved getting some comedy in there. And I think that was its appeal, really.
And there were greater roles for your good self, Jeannie, as the series developed. And if it had gone to a second season, I'm sure you would have taken over the whole system. But that's okay. It was a wonderful collection of episodes. Very impressed with how Marty Hopkirk or Kenneth Cope's a white suit was maintained in obviously pristine condition. I was very impressed.
I've got to say.
that was always a bit in contention. Oh, the suit's got to be cleaned again. Quick, get it. I think they only had one suit, you know. I mean, they don't... spend money unless they really have to on things like that. So I think that suit got cleaned more times than I can ever remember anything being cleaned.
One of the essays, of course, that Rick Davey himself actually talks about in Playboy Spies and Private Eyes is relating to the 50th anniversary at Port Merion of The Prisoner and how Jane Merrow was particularly sort of moved by the whole sequence. Sounds like you had one heck of a good time, Annette. I'm really sorry I couldn't actually make it there, but it did look as though...
It was, it was interesting because, see, most people think that we filmed the series down there. Mm. Of course, we didn't. There were just a few scenes that the relevant people went down to do, and there was very few people. It was mostly Patrick and probably a couple of the other, you know, ones who were in it all the time. So we didn't get a chance to go down there. And I've often thought about it, on the coast of Wales. But when we went down, it is the most beautiful place and has an extraordinary history. of the man who started to build it, an eccentric man who started to build it 100 years ago, and took him 50 years to build it, and he went around the world collecting artifacts and all sorts of building materials, and even imported war-damaged pillars and facades for houses, and even a huge mantelpiece from a big grand house that was in beautiful condition, apparently. And when he took it there, he was going to put it into this house, but the house wasn't big enough to take it. So he put it on the front of the house, and it looks amazing. It's right on the sea. It's right on the estuary there. So, I mean, it's quite beautiful and very, very different.
And that, of course, is...
Very hard to get to, though.
Well, indeed so. But you know, as I say, I know Rick was saying, maybe it's the last time 50 years we all get together, etc. Maybe we should go for 51st or 52nd. We'll get that. The magic will continue. And an extra bonus time today, yeah. Because quite rightly so, Playboy, Spies and Private Eyes is available. All wonderful stuff from that point of view. Tessa, would you like to put those last two questions to Annette, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, yes, very much, very much.
And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
I sincerely hope so.
Exactly. Next week.
I have it marked down in my calendar every month, I'd hate to have to cross one out.
No, we keep going. That's the important thing. You know. Presidents might change, prime ministers might adjust, but the certainty of the midweek drive continues ever onwards.
Yes.
Of course,
absolutely. And far better it is, too.
Indeed so. And Arthur Weingarten's back with us next week. Arthur, just amazing. Now, the question is, in the Snart household, how far have you got along with reading Arthur's book?
Oh, gosh, well, I'll have to ask my mum that, because she's the one who's still got it.
Well, there we are, you see.
She's,
she should buy her own copy, obviously.
She should, shouldn't she? I should probably suggest
Call the day the sky fell.
She's still got it.
Well, never mind. Just goes to show life continues. Here's John Lennon. right to. We do all shine on, even if we have to acknowledge the fact that...
Linton has now officially been put on the broadcasting map, with Tessa Snart taking midweek drivette duties to a whole new level.
Yes, Graham Harper, that is the Tessa Snart who we co-presented with back in the London Film Festival of 2016. A variety of other sort of key things. You met her, of course, at various sort of events and so on. But no, she was unable to make the fun experience of joining us, and therefore she puts you in the position of having to be a model for Koi Clothing at the London Boat Show last week. I mean, hopefully you'll forgive her, but...
I think you would have done a wonderful job. Have you got pictures?
Yes, we have, Tessa. I mean, you haven't looked at the first
book. I haven't seen the picture. I haven't seen anything. I'm going to have to go on to Southside Broadcasting. No, I must have a look at these. I've not seen them pop up yet on my Facebook. I'm just going to have to go directly to the page.
Clearly.
I have to work for it.
Exactly so. Well, because I'm a male and I can't multitask, I will actually endeavour to hunt down these pictures, which are fairly straightforward. Go to facebook.com/Southside Broadcasting.
I'll have a look.
Meanwhile, Hannah is intrigued with Inside Number 9. Now, I have tried, Graham, as best as I can to define the series and say, well, it's like Number 9, and then you go inside it. Really. But I don't think she's given that short shrift, to be honest. As much short shrift as you actually gave William Coles talking about Burns Night, which they don't apparently celebrate in Harwich. It just astounded me, really.
Not that I'm aware of, they do.
There might be somebody in Harwich who celebrates Burns
Night.
One
lone person heads out to the beach with haggis in one hand and a whiskey in the other.
You're reading my mind, and that's why we'll have a new minister for loneliness in the government for too long. Graham, are you outside? Or are you just breathing heavily?
I'm probably just breathing heavily because I'm doing something.
It did sound like there was like some kind of wind.
I kind of see the wind, Susan. Too much. It's all too much. The joys of radio. That's why they call it the visually impaired medium. Anyway. Would you like to explain to Graham and Tessa not only about Inside Number 9, Hannah, but how... Thank you. What did I actually refer to you as?
You called me Graham.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. He could explain to himself, of course. It's the scarf you see. It's a very Harper-esque scarf that you're wearing.
You're wearing a scarf. Good.
Yeah, well, you have to it's these really days. And whilst we're doing that, I also have to pass on the very kind thoughts of Ryan Jones, he who, of course, manages to work the Skype system for your good self. Last time when you joined us for the whole show, Graham, because he was very impressed with Bernie Clifton or Bernie Clifton's dressing room.
Oh, good.
Would you like to explain to Hannah and Tessa, what's it all about?
Well, you're too young to remember this, but and probably Alexis is, but there was a series called Tales of the Unexpected, which is the closest thing I can associate it with, which was done in the kind of the 70s and maybe easing into the 80s, I can't remember. And it was a series of odd stories that had sort of simple stories that had really strange twists, sometimes good, sometimes bad, in production. But these guys have taken the number 9, it could have been 13 or 8 or 8.5 or what, but so that every story starts inside a number 9 of whatever that number 9 is. It could be a 9 in a street or room number 9 in a hotel or whatever. So in my case, well, in the one that just went out last week, we had 9 on a basket, which is a prop basket. So the 9 came up right at the beginning as someone lifted the lid to pull a prop out. And that's how it got started. So it's number 9 prop box, if you like, or prop basket. But each story is a really, really interesting and strange setting with different twists that get bigger and bigger twists. So you have one twist that leads into another, that leads into another. So you're led down a path of thinking one thing and then a complete volte-face as it turns out to be something completely different at the end.
Or indeed, for those people who don't like the French language, pivot, okay? Yeah, so I mean, there are people who might sort of say volte-face, I can't really, pivot. You know, you sort of pivot on the whole thing and suddenly it's a different... Mm-hmm. Ooh, we weren't expecting that.
Yeah.
Oh. But actually, it sounds really interesting, actually. Yeah. And
You can binge watch, only 25 minutes per episode.
Brilliant. I have seen Tales of the Unexpected. I used to watch them when I was younger. And I love things with good twists, especially ones you don't see coming. Wow. Because
good comedic twists as well. Very good.
Yeah. These are funny, but they're also shocking. Some, not every episode, but every other story has like last night's had a shocking series of events that happened. Yeah. As you learn what the story is about backwards, because it starts at the beginning and goes backwards to the beginning. He goes in, I think it's four times, 10 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier. And you're supposed to work all that out and get to the conclusion.
Is it fair to say, Graham, we may be living in another golden age of television? I mean, we were talking with Andre about her fantastic work with ITC Television. We were talking about this with Rick Davey and a range of Danger Man, The Prisoner, The Saint and so on. Is it fair to say that we don't recognise that actually there's a lot of good material that's actually out there?
I think so. I think there are, but some of them kind of stay their course, as it were, and eventually they force their way into the psyche of the public so that they become very popular late in life.
Exactly. So we're going to actually do another one of those wonderful audiovisual exercises on the Midweek Drive. Don't do this if you're actually at the controls of a vehicle, unless it's driverless, OK? That's another audience we're going to be looking for as the decades proceed, people listening to us in driverless cars. I'm ahead of the game on this one, Graham. So we're going to actually have a look with Tessa and Hannah describing what they're seeing, whilst you, Graham, who equally, because he's not really a social media person, he won't have looked at the photographs either. I gave him a direct link, but you know,
he's missing out.
Expecting Graham and Bernadette to look at Facebook photographs.
We don't do any of it.
No, exactly. So what have we got with image one here from the boat show last week?
So we have got a gentleman rocking a scarf, and it really does colour coordinate with the balloons in the background. So it's like it was staged to be, you know, I mean, model there.
Yeah.
There's a model in the image.
It's not just David Lean who can structure a photograph when I got Graham Harper in there. And it's wonderful.
I know. Graham, you are working that scarf.
He's like Clint Eastwood, except 20 years younger. It's fantastic.
He's got a pose going on and everything.
He's got the hand on the hip. He's got everything. And the gentleman from the small boat scenario is just looking as though he's bemused. He's bemused by us. Okay. Next one up, we have a boat in a bag.
Yes, it looks like a.
It is a boat in a bag.
Yes, it's with some style. It's not your traditional.
It does say actually, Hannah, the boat that falls into a bag.
That's a more difficult one to describe. It's not as colourful.
Say what it says on the thing there. The boat that falls into a bag.
It has picture instructions, which I like.
Yes. Now, when we spoke about this, Graham, if people haven't listened to the podcast or what went out last Thursday evening, it's fair to say that this split the Midweek Drivette team en route. Ed Wellman said, "That's for me. That's exactly the one for me." Okay. Graham said, "If I get that, my wife will divorce me."
Oh, no.
Where would you sit on the boat in a bag issue, Tessa?
Where would I sit?
Well, I mean, obviously you'd sit on the boat.
Yes,
exactly.
Does
it appeal? Do you sort of think, oh yes?
I do like boats, and I've been on several. You know, speedboat.
Yeah. But a boat in a bag.
Boat in a bag.
Hannah, what would that add to your street credibility in Harwich?
What street credibility? I'm not entirely sure when I would use it. If I had a reason to need to spontaneously go for a boat ride.
Yes.
If I suddenly found a situation in my life
when
I regularly need spontaneously go on a boat ride, having a boat in a bag is a solution.
We could start our own society. Move over the rowers. We've got a boat in the bag.
Boat in the bag society. All we need is 15 people to agree.
Yes.
Next one up, three people sitting on a bed. If you look very carefully, a man with a couple of V signs who basically was a member of the general public. Now, you guys know I don't normally interview the general public. I don't normally interview, do Vox Pops. This chap, in the middle of our interview that Graham, Ed and myself are actually doing with this particular exhibitor, insisted on basically just lying flat on his back on the bed and making various comments on the whole thing.
He's peeking there, isn't he, over his shoulder?
Did you befriend him?
Yes.
No.
No.
No. I can probably see why.
Exactly. What's the next one, Tessa?
Well, it's quite a dark image.
Mm-hmm. Who is the image of?
I'm just trying to have a look.
Let's see who the lady in the image actually is.
The lady on the left?
No.
The other lady.
In the middle, yes. Have we got any idea?
I probably should have, shouldn't I?
I would have thought as a level 3 journalist. Hannah?
Is it Princess Anne?
It is Princess Anne.
Princess Anne,
exactly.
Yeah.
Is that her style?
I didn't get that. Unrecognisable.
Not Princess Anne in disguise. It is actually Princess Anne. Very impressed to see Graham, I believe. Rumour came down to us from the palace afterwards. We won't talk about our station mascot
recognise that face, though, I think.
No, I don't think so.
Do I not?
You've never met Charlotte in your life before. Unless it's a past life, you might have. There is a life.
She looks
amazingly
familiar, but obviously not Charlotte.
There is another sort of line that's there. The perusals. Hannah, do you want to take that sort of one there in terms of...
This is a wide shot of a variety of boats in the picture.
Yeah.
But there is, as you said, the man from a previous picture with the very, very attractive scarf is inquisitively...
This is you, Graham, in case you...
I do like the scarf. He's inquisitively looking at one of the boats.
Yes. The regal lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the regal lady. Oh,
Very good. Susie Randall, who, of course, is this time next year, she'll be halfway around the world. She's actually doing a full sort of one. As she said herself, she likes the simplicity of it. It's not high tech, which makes it harder, but it's raw. It's pure.
It's impressive.
Oh, this is lovely.
What is it, Tessa?
So we have a lovely helicopter.
At a boat show.
At a boat show.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. I can see the link.
See where we're going here. Exactly.
And we have four lovely people.
Well,
having their picture taken.
Exactly. That's it. Did you enjoy the helicopter, Graham?
I was bemused by why it was there. I mean, it was quite obvious. The kind of people who can buy those boats would be able to afford quite easily a trip to their boat in that helicopter. Yeah. But it just felt odd to be there. Yeah.
You think it would fit more like an air show than a boat show?
Perhaps they'll have boats to the air show.
But maybe you can keep your boat in a bag in it, jump out of the helicopter, and you're away.
Or for, rescuing people from their boats.
Precisely. We'll skip through the water thing.
A swimming pool. Did you go for a swim, Alex?
Do you know, Hannah, the answer to that is no. In terms of the fitting, we shall motor through there because this is a calendar shot for next year. Let's
very suave.
I mean, it's just,
this is vibrant. I like this.
I do like those jackets.
Catwalk 2018.
Next week, Jonathan will be joining us live on the programme.
Wow.
Yeah?
I might be, I will have to pick his
We're
brains.
Not being coy about this, Graham. What are we talking about?
I'm not sure. You talk about the jackets?
Yes.
Yes.
The ones that we've...
The stripy ones.
Oh, my wife would divorce me if I had one. But they were fabulous.
They are beautiful.
And the collar. You turn the collar up, it's coloured. It's got wonderful colours.
I love them.
Coloured colours.
Very vibrant. Yeah.
So you would be a James Dean. You'd be walking around like James Dean all the time.
No one else would have one like that. Yeah.
I want one.
Jolly boating weather. And that, I think, actually concludes our little segue through the photographs because there comes a time where you can almost hear producers screaming in your ear, for goodness sake, how much of this can they actually take? I don't know.
Can go look at the pictures
they
and join
do.
In.
Exactly.
Is that what social media is all about then, Hannah?
Exactly. It's engaging.
Should I be Instagramming these as well?
Yeah,
Lord above.
Instagram it all.
There was no special filters. Price, was there?
No.
Why?
Well, clearly that's because... I don't know. We'll ask them next week. Sue Rice actually commented, oh yes, very dapper.
They do look very dapper.
They are very dapper indeed.
What to say?
Dapper, not divorced dapper, but dapper dapper.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. And that's brought us neatly round to approximating the Ladies Barbershop Quartet singers that will be Katrina Webb, who should be joining us in a matter of seconds. But it still leaves a few moments for Hannah to put those last two questions to you, Graham Harper, about life, the universe, Inside Number 9, Doctor Who, or anything else that takes her fancy. Over to you.
Did you want the last two questions?
You can
or
do whatever you like, Hannah.
Whatever. Kind of,
You've got 3 minutes to do free play, as they used to say in kindergarten. Yeah, get the clay out.
My brain's still waking up in the new year. It had a bit of a hibernation.
She's had a long day.
Right. Well, whatever you want to do then, basically. I mean,
How was your Christmas?
Nice.
I'm interested in how everyone's Christmas was. Did you get anything good, Graham?
I got a book on Hillary Clinton, which I wanted. I'm dying to get the book on Trump. Mm.
Most people are.
Yes.
Fire and Fury.
I want to get that one too.
He's such a winner.
That's going to happen. Yes, I got a variety of nice things. Music, a nice video, and some aftershave.
Genius.
Ooh, lovely.
Eau de Cologne, I should
perfect.
Say.
Yeah, but it's the thought that counts, which is why I gave Graham a Sunseeker yacht, in my mind.
And I had a wonderful time in the Bahamas, in my mind.
Exactly. That's all about. So I take it you've had an okay telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have. Thank you very much.
And I take it you'll be back with us before too long?
I will, but this time early. Sorry, I do apologise for that.
Tessa thought it was something personal, but I said, it's all right. I'm sure. Never had to speak to her again.
Graham.
All good stuff. Here are the Eels, keeping the water theme going. Jeannie's Diary.
Her world spin without me in her nest. Could there really be such happiness? Oh, she's got a dark side too, even murderous. But I love that just.